Let's stay on the vaccine rollout and today's updated advice regarding AstraZeneca and cases of extremely rare blood clots. Professor Tony Cunningham is an infectious diseases physician with the Westmead Institute for Medical Research and my guest tonight. Hello.
Hello, Patricia.
What do you make of today's advice that Pfizer is now the preferred vaccine for Australians under the age of 60?
I think this is an example which the public's not used to of how science moves when figures become available. It's always been an issue of balancing side effects versus risk of disease. And we know that the risk of disease goes up with COVID, and I think you made the point that there have been outbreaks in Victoria and a small one here in New South Wales, and there's always the risk that this could get out. And so it's our over 80-year-olds with a 20-fold increase in death, then our 70s to 79-year-olds, 5-fold increase, and then we go down to 60 to 69, about 2 to 3-fold compared to 50 to 59. So your vantage point differs on your age group in terms of how you might view the risk of this side effect, the TTS syndrome, and also perhaps other minor syndromes, which are extremely rare. But obviously, the advice here is we've seen more cases in the 50 to 59 year old age group. And so Otagi has taken a balance one side and the other and said, okay, we're going to increase this up to the age of 60 because we know that over the age of 60, your risk of getting this syndrome is about half that under the age of 60.
Well, the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, conceded that this presents a challenge to the national rollout. He insists that we're going to get there at the end, though, at the same time, but there'll be a slow bit where you have to be patient and then it'll ramp up again. Are you worried about any delay to the national rollout?
Yeah, I think I'm on record as saying several months ago that I was worried about winter, and I'm particularly worried about people over the age of 60. And so I'd certainly urge those people to get immunised. And as you quite rightly pointed out, there is an issue of vaccine hesitancy in Australia because we see so little disease around us. And, you know, as an HIV physician in the past, we saw that when people were faced with the prospect of death around them, they very quickly adopted preventative mechanisms. And this is true in Britain, where there's an awful lot of COVID, and so we see there is less hesitancy, and more than 80 or up to 80% of the population has had at least one dose. In Australia, we've been somewhat complacent. In Victoria, we saw, and I've heard this on from many of my colleagues in Victoria, people change their mind in terms of their attitude to being immunised when they feel that they are threatened locally by spread of COVID. Unfortunately, it can be too late. You know, you need to have that few weeks of at least one vaccine before you start to get the benefit. So you've got to look ahead. I think the public has to look ahead.
Should there be a publicly recognised threshold for blood clot cases in above 60s that would warrant further restrictions on AstraZeneca? I mean, potentially, could it be ditched altogether? Because it's changed twice. Could happen again, right?
Well, I think it really, as I think Tagi has pointed out quite clearly, it relates to the risk of death from COVID versus the risk of serious illness. And we have to recognise that all these syndromes are evolving. That's what people aren't used to. And people have difficulty adjusting to change, and they're seeing science in action. So we've seen the death rate from TTS drop from 25% to 3% in Australia. We're getting better at recognising it and also treating it. So all of these things are moving, and it's quite difficult for the public to grab that. And understandably feel insecure. So it's really incumbent on us, including I think you and me, to make it clear to the public that on the one hand it's the risk of death from COVID, and on the other hand you've got extremely rare side effects, and you have some rare side effects from other vaccines too. We always have had rare side effects from vaccines. It's a matter of weighing up the risk of serious illness and death versus the extraordinary job these vaccines do.
Are you worried about winter? We don't have enough?
Yes. I think winter is probably not as much as I would have been perhaps a year ago. I think that we've done such a magnificent job, our public health officials in New South Wales in particular, and Victoria is doing well as well, in terms of contact tracing. I think that if you put together winter and the new strains, the Delta strain from India, we have this increased risk of spread. But you can see that in the UK, it's not just winter that is of concern, because they've got a little upsurge now, despite their immunisation record, of the Delta strain, which is more spreadable. So it's not just winter, it's the new strains, and really everybody has got to try and take advantage of the offers of the vaccines that are available. That's my major message.
So we know also that there's some studies, or the TGA, they haven't approved it, but mixing and matching vaccines. Studies underway in the UK, and Canada's looking at this too.
Yes.
Is that
and Spain,
where we might go?
Yeah. Yes. Look, it's very interesting, because you have to remember that mix and match vaccines is not new. The prime boost approaches to HIV vaccines and others, the concept of being able to initiate the immune response with one vaccine and then boost it with another is something that's intrigued vaccinologists, scientists for some time. And so understandably, there are trials in progress. And we know that there's a slight upswing in side effects, which are temporary and not a problem, over the first couple of days with mixing and matching AstraZeneca and Pfizer. And we know, and that's from the UK study published in The Lancet, and we also know that from Spain there's an increase in the antibody levels with these sort of mix and match approaches. But there's not enough data yet to make a clear recommendation. I must say I have to agree with Atagi in saying, for the moment, when you've got a tenfold decrease in the risk of this TTS syndrome with the second vaccine, and not enough data in terms of both safety and efficacy to recommend a change to mix and match. And besides which, the mix and match they used in the UK was 8 weeks between AstraZeneca and Pfizer rather than 12 weeks, which is not much of a saving in time, which is the other advantage that people have pointed to, that maybe you could save time by having an earlier Pfizer and you might get better efficacy. We don't know yet, but we need to watch this space. It's really interesting.
It certainly is. And so have you been. Thank you for joining us tonight.
A pleasure.